This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, Sports Bros Wednesday. What is up? Rop, right here. Sook, right over there.
COVID-free.
Sada.
Jeff Rust.
You over there, you're now making me worried.
Jeff Rust in for Mike Lynch. Hello.
Hello. Glad I'm on this side of the glass.
Yeah. Now I'm all...
Well, Big Sook...
Now I'm all worried about you
over
there.
...has actively told me. He's like, I don't take any precautions anymore. Who cares? And meanwhile,
that's
I'm sitting
exactly
over here...
That's exactly how I sound, too.
I'm sitting over here like, oh, thanks. But yes, I had a little run-in with COVID.
Only one of us apparently potentially has the COVID, and that's you.
But I'm taking all the necessary precautions.
Sitting right across from me. Can you speak this the other correct. Way? Because, oh, wait, we're sitting now, so COVID can't get me. You can only get COVID when you're standing. Remember, when you go into a restaurant, you have to wear the mask while you're walking to your table, but once you sit down, the COVID then goes over your head.
So crazy.
So I think as we're sitting here, I'm assuming that your COVID is now over my head, so I'm fine, although I'm taller than you, so it's possible it's getting me on the way up. I don't know.
Well, I think that the virus goes around us. I just think we're that good.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, if we haven't gotten it, I mean,
look at us.
Adonises.
They're also talking about, isn't there something out there about blood type or something that has to do with how it hits people? And
there's a lot of different theories. My doctor, who's a buddy of mine, he goes, look, I have no proof of any of this. He thinks there's a genetic component to it because of all the people that he sees, there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason. You can get one family member that gets it and he's around everyone else and no one gets it. And then another family, you know, someone else gets it and everyone gets it. Or you go to a picnic and, people get infected, that he thinks there's some sort of component in each one of us, that we're just individuals. And for some people, you're more susceptible than others.
Well, our genetics are higher ranking.
That is true.
They are superior.
I think it's the booze and the weed. Was there an article saying that cannabis can?
Yeah, you know, but I don't.
Oh well,
I don't
scotch.
Ever partake.
Scotch.
Haven't had a scotch in a while.
I believe it was more the hemp side of things.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Bourbon. Is bourbon? Is that on the list?
Yeah. It cleans you out. So more of an Irish whiskey, but I think it's the same principle. But I'm taking no chances. In fact, I'm doubling up on all of my regimen, so I think I'm fine.
Well, here's what we have coming up this hour. We have a boomer warning about those damn kids.
Freaking kids.
Coming up tonight in the club, Sook has hot death news. I don't know what this is, but we're going to explore it.
Yeah, apparently there's an option.
Because we were talking about the death of the young Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
He died, skiing accident.
Well, maybe someone can give him this email that I received and... It's kind of creepy, but apparently it's a thing. And then I found out today there's a whole sect of people, the influencers, that are trying to make this a regular thing involving death.
Intrigued.
We'll discuss.
We shall. some other sports stuff. Right now, though, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Number 5.
Hey, are you ready for really hot Hillsboro hops news?
Yes, please.
Because I've got some.
I love the hops and the pickles. Give me all of the baseball news.
Hillsboro hops in the city of Hillsboro are seeking bids to expand Ron Tonkin Field. It's a $60 to $100 million project.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I said. When complete, it would bring outdoor concerts and other major gatherings to the venue, cementing Hillsboro as a major regional economic player.
Kick ass.
I believe it also said privately funded.
Some of it.
Yeah, well, again, they're not. You're not going to get a ton
$100 million.
You're not getting that kind of public money. So,
yeah, capacity would only increase by about 1,500 seats, but
they would add
gathering areas, suites, bars, and other concessions, namely bars.
It's a cool place, but it's pretty bare bones.
And bars.
bars.
It's cool. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium, but it's not a. Yeah. It's a really no frills. Sort of thing. So I'm guessing you're just trying to spruce it up. I would go to way more Hops games. It's just it's
number
really
four.
Inconvenient for where I live. And also, I just been Portland State plays out there, but I don't go to. I don't go.
They're about 7 minutes from my house.
Oh, there you go. If I lived out your direction, I would go to way more Hop games.
Target completion date April 2024.
All right, well, go Hops.
Bol Bol has been traded by the Nuggets again.
Is it going to go through this time?
The first time he went to Detroit, but he failed his physical. Now he goes to Boston in a three-way deal. Denver also sends P.J. Dozier to the Celtics. Guard Bryn Forbes of the Spurs goes to Denver. San Antonio gets Juancho Hernan Gomez. You remember him, that guy?
Yeah. No, I don't, by the way.
You don't know him?
No.
They also get Denver's second-round pick in 2028.
I did say that Ime Udoka said that Bol Bol was a young, intriguing player, and all I want is a lineup that features Bol Bol and Taco Fall. That's what I want.
That would be fun.
On the floor at the same time.
The Taco Bol connection.
Yes! Make it happen.
I'd watch. Bol Bol is expected to have foot surgery and be out 8 to 12 weeks.
Damn it!
Celtics don't care.
No, they don't.
Two of the finest on-water college football stadiums are going head-to-head for on-water supremacy. Washington and Tennessee have signed a home-and-home. First game will be 2029 at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville.
Mark your calendars.
Seattle game is September 7th, 2030 at Husky Stadium. Shockingly, the two sides, Tennessee and Washington, they've never played a college football game against one another.
That doesn't surprise me, though. I mean...
Never?
No, well, I mean, has Alabama ever played a Pac-12 school? Like, the SEC doesn't travel up here
much. Didn't they play Arizona State once? I mean, I'm going to look that
Georgia
up.
Georgia played Arizona State.
Former TCU coach, as expected.
Gary Patterson
is going to join Steve Sarkisian's staff at Texas in a special off-field advisor to the head coach role.
He's basically going to be like a general manager for the program, which... Good for them. It's a great get.
I have portal news. Georgia quarterback, formerly of USC, JT Daniels, has entered the transfer portal yet again.
Five-star kid, and no one wants him.
This after Georgia starting quarterback and national champion Stetson Bennett announced he is returning to the Bulldogs.
Oh, see, he was a senior, but I guess because of COVID, he had the weird
sure
that extra year.
For some reason, the Blazers are hot. Fittingly, tonight they visit the Heat. Portland has won
this.
4 of 5. CJ McCollum is back.
Stop winning games.
At the end of the first quarter, Portland is leading yet again, 26-23. CJ McCollum has 13 already. Oregon men's basketball against Washington State tomorrow, postponed due to COVID within the Cougars program. They are clearly scared of the red-hot and rolling Ducks men's basketball team.
I have bad news, by the way. The Taco Bowl is not going to happen. Taco Fall now with the Cavaliers and in the G.
When did that happen?
This year.
Really?
Yeah, it's right here. 2022. Cleveland Cavaliers. Number one. And actually, he's with the Cleveland Charge, so.
Oh, yeah. Alabama played USC like 5 years ago. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. And they beat
the
brakes off of them.
That was the Sam Darnold year.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And NFL divisional playoffs this weekend. A couple of injury notes. The Titans still have not decided whether or not to activate running back Derrick Henry, but they will activate running back Derrick Henry. They will do it on Friday. He is going through contact drills now, and he's doing fine. The Cowboys are protecting Zeke Elliott. They're saying that he played this season on a torn PCL.
It's still the worst contract in the NFL. They've got to move on from that.
On the Cincinnati front, pass rusher Trey Hendrickson is back at practice after being rushed through concussion protocol. Jimmy Garoppolo says he'll be out there Saturday against the Packers, but he is hurt. He hurt his shoulder against the Cowboys, and his performance was decidedly different following the shoulder injury. He was 11 of 14 for 133 yards before it, and 5 of 11 for 39 yards in the bad interception after it.
They saw some, there was some video of him at practice today, and he looked good throwing the ball for what it's worth. I mean, it was non-padded or whatever, but he had good zip on the ball, and the reporters that were there said they didn't notice any noticeable issue with him throwing. Also, Bosa was out. Non-contact, he was carrying around his helmet, but they said he was moving around in a good spirit, so... You know, he's got to clear the concussion protocol in a couple steps, but all signs point to him being able to go. And then Fred Warner dealing with that ankle, he's going to play. It's just, it's not going to be anywhere near 100%.
Saturday is made for football. Crack a Coors Light. Forget about your 9-to-5 and focus on the Ducks. 4th-and-1 Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. That's your Hot 5 at 5. Coming up next, Troy Aikman is taking a shot at his Cowboys. We will get to that. And Boomer News. It's 5:12 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I have your answer on Alabama playing Pac-12 opponents in college football.
Someone did point out that in a bowl game a number of years ago, Utah beat them at, I think, in the at the Cotton Bowl?
Oh.
They played in a BCS game.
I thought
game.
That was a BCS. Yeah.
It was a Cotton Bowl? It was a BCS game, but Alabama had fallen short of the national title, and that was that old, they didn't care. And Utah kicked their ass.
Yeah, I remember that. All games against the Pac-12, all time, Alabama has played 21.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Of which they have won 15.
I do remember, now that you mention it, Bear Bryant gave credit to USC for integrating the Alabama football squad. They went out on a train to play Southern California, and I believe it was that O.J. Simpson guy who just ran all over Alabama, and Bear Bryant figured out that maybe, just maybe,
he slashed him.
It was time to integrate.
Utah beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl following the 2008 season.
Sugar Bowl. Yeah, they've played USC 8 times. That's the team they've played the most, and they have gone 6-2. They have played Cal twice, Stanford twice, UCLA 3 times, Washington 5 times, and Washington State once. Oregon and Oregon State have never played Alabama.
Look at that. More than you would have thought with Alabama playing the Pac-12, or at the time probably the Pac-8 and
Pac-10. One loss, that Utah loss you're talking about, that is the only Alabama bowl loss to a Pac-12 team. They are 8-1-1 in bowls against the Pac-12.
Suck it, Alabama.
What a good little program.
I do think that they are doing just fine, even though they can't beat Georgia. So clearly they suck.
So Troy Aikman is hot and bothered again.
Well, I don't know, hot and bothered. I just think he is pointing something out that is, it really is a good, valid argument against today some of the analytic-driven offenses.
Yeah, so he was doing some Dallas radio today, and he said he's stunned, and he said this on the broadcast too, because they were calling, they weren't calling the Dallas game, they were calling.
They were doing the
Raiders.
No, yeah, they were doing one of the blowout games.
Were they?
I think they were doing the Philadelphia game. I think they were doing Philadelphia and Tampa.
Right.
And he's the one like midway
that's
through
right.
the third quarter said, I think there are a lot of people that wish they were calling the Dallas
yeah.
San Francisco game because they were in the middle of this.
He wanted to be calling the Cowboys
yeah,
game.
Yeah, in the middle of this awful game.
But he was the one saying, Jesus, look at what Tampa is doing with Devontae Smith, right? The Eagles. Is that his name? Devontae Smith?
Yes.
The Eagles stud receiver.
And he pointed this out several times in the game.
And during the game, he's like, why are you not throwing to him? They are giving you that.
Yep.
And he's your stud. Get in the ball. Well, Troy reiterated that today with regards to the Cowboys and what they were doing with CeeDee Lamb. And, you know,
he got one catch
and but he shouldn't have, because if what Troy was saying, if you look at how the Niners were covering him, just throw him the ball. He's going to catch it. They are giving him, they just don't want him. They don't want to give up the big one,
yep.
but they are giving you that 10 to 15 yards or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And his point is, and I think this is what he said. I think it is a good point. These coaches today out scheme themselves. Like they want to scheme so bad, but they don't take what's given to them
yeah.
by the defense. They don't just just look.
Yeah,
he's right there for
he,
you.
He goes that if we were playing them, we were playing the 49ers, Irvin would have had 10 catches by the half. Because he goes, we just would have run 10 yard curls and made the 49ers come up and play him.
Right.
And you know, with a Dallas run game that isn't working, well, oh, that's fine. Then you have to find other ways to get teams to respect you. And it's not always about scheme. It's just find creative ways, or in this case, not even creative ways, just nickel and dime them with getting the ball into your best playmaker's hands. It is ridiculous that CeeDee Lamb had one reception for 21 yards. That's just, it's not good enough. And you look at what like San Francisco did, you know, Deebo Samuel only had 3 catches, but he ran the ball 10 times
yeah.
for 72 yards.
They get their stud the
ball. They get their stud the ball. And Dallas doesn't. And so
How much of that is on the quarterback versus the coaching staff?
Well, I mean, Dak Prescott is not calling plays. And I don't know what kind of freedom the coaching staff does give him. But if you go back and watch that, because Aikman was talking about this throughout the course of the game, he goes, dude, they are playing 8 to 10 yards off CeeDee Lamb. Why aren't you throwing him the ball? And with one-on-one and with not a ton of help over the top, even if you throw him just little, you know, like out in the flat, you just throw him a little bubble. You're still asking him to make a tackle against one of the more dynamic playmakers in the NFL one-on-one. And Aikman's point was force him, prove that they can make that play.
So, Coach, by the way, we've been corrected, rightly so, and chastised. Mm-hmm. Utah, not in the Pac-12.
Oh, yeah, they were Mountain West.
They were Mountain West then, which is why everyone was like, oh, Alabama doesn't want to be there. There's no way Mountain West team will beat them.
Yeah, they were. They were a BCS cluster.
But, yeah, now in the Pac-12.
Both of Utah's yeah. BCS games before this one were both when they were in the Mountain West. Because that was Alex Smith that year, they were undefeated. They beat Pitt. And then, he's the coach now. Their quarterback, Brian Johnson, was their quarterback when they housed Alabama.
So why do coaches, I don't know, it's kind of like the Cliff Kingsbury thing. Like, it sounds like Cliff Kingsbury, pretty good scheme, right? Mm-hmm. Like, knows what he's doing, draws up some pretty creative stuff. But it catches up to him. Like, teams adjust to it. They see it. He doesn't, you know, readjust or disguise what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, he has terrible ends of seasons. Why do coaches do this? Like, why there's so, it seems to me that so much more of football is taking what's there, looking at how you're being played and adjusting to that versus just, this is what we do. We're going to come hell or high water. We're just going to do what we do. Well, they're not letting you do that. So what is your curveball? I don't understand this. Explain this to me.
I can't, because it's the thing that baffles me more than anything else in the NFL, and we see it time and time again. And I think the truth of the matter is, we expect players to have bad games, and we expect players to not be elite all the time. But for whatever reason, we don't do that with coaches, right? We have this idea that coaches, there's not such thing as coaches that choke, or coaches that have bad moments, or coaches that just aren't very good at their job. And the truth is, there are, and they're stubborn coaches.
Not Rich Bisaccia.
No, clearly not. The one that always baffles me, and you know, Aikman with a very good point of, a lot of times you see guys playing soft coverage with a single high safety, and you're like, my God, you've got one-on-one coverage with your best receiver. And this is what he was saying with the Eagles too, with Devontae Smith. He was saying, I get that Jalen Hurts doesn't throw the ball very well, but you can't do anything against this Tampa Bay defense. You have a one-on-one matchup on the outside, throw it. What's the worst that can happen? You're taking a chance to at least make them respect what you do. The one that also baffles me is not giving your tackles help. I will never understand that. When you get an offensive line that's just getting housed, and you're like, your tackles can't block their DNs, and yet you give them no help. And then at the end of the games, coaches are like, well, we thought about it, and you know, we try to chip every now and then, and they never have a good explanation for it, other than, well, that's not what we do. Our tackles should be able to block their outside linebacker or their defensive end. I just think sometimes there are coaches that get into a case of the supposedas. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what I want to do. And I am this creative guy, and I'm going to come up with all these fancy schemes. And sometimes it's just the what kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Who's the best coach left?
Boy, that's a good one. Andy Reid. I mean,
who's the second best coach left?
I mean, Andy Reid is one of the great coaches in NFL history. See, I think that one becomes way more intriguing.
They're all young except for Arians.
Yeah, most of them are young. I mean, Arians has a Super Bowl and is a very good offensive mind. McVay is a savant. I think McDermott has done a great job in Buffalo. You can't argue with LaFleur's track record. And Vrabel's probably the coach of the year for what he's done with the Titans. But if I was starting my team, I think I'd go with Sean McVay. I think I would take McVay.
He's pretty good.
He's
you know what I
think's
cool about him is, you know, he gets labeled the wonder kid, you know, and all this. And a lot of people balk at that because they're like, well, he hasn't done anything. But he has gone to the Super Bowl, and he did it with – he took Jared Goff to a Super Bowl, for God's sakes.
Yep.
But he's only 30 – I think he's only now 35 years old.
Yeah, really young.
One thing I think that's cool about him is – he still runs the ball like that. Like all this talk about, oh, the schematics of Sean McVay is so smart. And so, dude, all he does is run the ball.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford threw what, 16 times the other night?
He wants to run the ball because he knows he has to. When they got in trouble this year, when they looked poor, was the same thing that happened under the other quarterback, is neither one of these guys is a transcendent quarterback. And he knows that he has to run the ball to keep defenses honest.
Yeah, so I just think that's...
I think McVay is
you
one
would
of...
Think,
I think he's one of the brighter minds in all of football.
Yeah, he gets lauded for like, oh, so different and special and new. And dude, he wants to do what they were doing in the 70s.
Yep. Run the ball, but he's really creative in the way that he gets his playmakers the ball.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of playmakers.
Yes, he does. And this is another good one via text. Huge example of what you were talking about is Pete Carroll demanding that his team be a power run game, even though he's got a bad offensive line and he didn't have any backs.
Right.
And he still wanted to. It's like you have to make adjustments to your personnel, which is I really think that Sean McVay does a great job at that. Another guy that I think is really bright when you look at as far as schematics and schemes, I don't think there's a more creative run game than what the 49ers do. I love their scheme.
Yeah.
And they've done it with a very limited quarterback. And they've done it with injuries and really not a ton of playmakers on the outside, with the exception of Debo. But look at that, too, and what they've managed to do with bringing him into the backfield and using him as a back, using him in that cross-buck play that you like so much, where, you know, they pull one way and they bring it back the other on a counter.
Cross-buck?
Wait, yeah, you're getting action. You're pulling a tight end or you're pulling a guard
Love that
to
play.
Make it look like it's going to be power, like it's going one way, and it actually is designed for Debo to take it and bend it back the other.
I'd pull the Patriots and run that play every time.
You get a little cross action.
They'll be like, there's no way they're going to run it again. Just run it again.
Run it again. And they're real creative in what they do with Kittle and Juszczyk, where the 49ers will, because those two guys can be involved in a power run game, or both of those guys can split out wide, the 49ers are great at forcing you as a defense to tell you what you're doing. If you want to play with a smaller nickel lineup and bring in another safety, they'll bring in their fullback and tight end from the outside, and they'll go into a power look. If you load up with a 5-1 run defense, all of a sudden Kittle motions out or Juszczyk motions out, and now you're in four wide, and now you're asking a big to cover two really athletic players. And so I think with the injuries and with some of the limitations at skill position and at quarterback, I really like Shanahan's scheme. So there is some really bright coaching in the NFL, but there's some really stubborn, bad coaching as well. And this could, Trent Dilfer has talked about this for years, that we assume that the NFL is full of the best coaches, and it's just not true.
Okay, well, what was I going to tell you? Oh, I just think it's cool that the playoffs, I mean, you have Andy Reid, and you have Bruce Arians, who, I mean, come on, he's got Tom Brady and a hell of a roster, right? Like, he's good, but what were they saying about him before he got this team in last year's Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. It certainly helps when you get a loaded roster.
Guys. But you look at the rest of the playoffs, and they're all young guys. I mean, with what Vrabel's doing, nobody ever talks about McDermott, but he's got the Bills looking good, and then you've got Shanahan and McVay and Taylor. It's fun to see these young guys in there.
Yeah, McDermott's only 47, and you know it's.
Yeah, Vrabel's 46.
Yeah, I mean, and outside of Andy Reid, they're the elder statesmen. So I think it's a really good collection of young coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, it's cool to see.
Yeah.
By the way, fun fact: Warren Sharp had this today, mm-hmm. that 2013, Washington, at that time called Redskins.
Yes. Now the team formerly known as a name that we won't use, apparently.
They had Mike Shanahan as their coach.
Mm-hmm.
So then Shanahan left or whatever, and they needed a coach. On their staff, they had Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, and Sean McVay.
That's a hell of a staff.
And they hired Jay Gruden.
How old were though? I mean, you're probably talking about those guys just being babies, right? I mean,
sure, but so what?
Yeah, you're probably
have some balls.
You're talking about very, very young, young. McVay was what, 7 years old at the time?
2013, he would have been, because he's 35. He would have been in his late 20s.
Yeah, you can't.
Why not?
You can't do that.
Well, they hired him at 31. somebody had the balls to hire him.
Someone had the balls.
But those, I mean, think about that. You had Shanahan, LaFleur, and McVay, and now they're three of the top coaches in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice job, Washington.
All on one staff.
But John Gruden's brother.
And you got Ron Rivera now, so you're fine.
It's crazy. all right. That is enough stupid football talk. God, I hate football.
So much football.
I'm just kidding. I love it. I can't wait for this weekend's games.
I know. I am very excited.
So good.
The only one that I'm kind of hemming and hawing on, and it's just Cincinnati and Tennessee.
We'll see. We'll see.
Hopefully we get a good game. But other than that, the other three, I am my sports pants runneth over.
Okay. Next, boomer warning, those damn kids. Here's Rust with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Blazers winning again. What is they doing? Help.
Hopefully we can sit Anthony Simons down here. I mean, there's plenty of time, though. There's only...
So Blazery did not tank right.
Minute left in the second quarter, they're up by three. Yeah, they can't even tank right. What the hell, man?
Most Blazer thing ever.
Knock it off.
Boomer warning here. This from Bleacher Report.
All right.
There is an NFL GM who is now saying that college football players are getting more entitled.
What? Oh my gosh.
Because of NIL.
Or entitled in general. So we're going back to paying people less than market value is now somehow really wrong. Not because it's less than market value. It's just that we don't want them to be paid at all.
One NFC general manager told SI.com's Albert Breer he believed the new NIL rules in college sports and the transfer portal have led to young players who are entitled. Quote, watching Alabama, Ohio State had their stud receiver Jameson Williams the last 2 years, the corner at Clemson's now at Georgia, Darion Kendrick, and these are big schools, Power 5 to Power 5 moves, he said. That's where college football is changing, and we're starting to get more entitled players. It used to be that you got humbled at some point. Now, that never happens. That general manager was concerned the transfer portal also made it harder to accurately gain intel on players. He said, with the program he left, you gain information, and a lot of times it's going to be negative. And at the new school, where maybe he was for a year, it's positive. So what really is it? For almost the entire history of college football, the players who helped create a billion-dollar industry didn't see a penny of the profits they generated and weren't allowed to make money off of advertising in their name, image, and likeness rights. Meanwhile, college coaches were signing contracts worth millions, and college administrators were living comfortably off of the profits that the school's most popular sport brought to the school.
And now the NFL is upset because their minor league system that they don't have to pay a dime for is now apparently becoming more challenging for them because they can't properly scout players. The hell out of here. It's ridiculous.
I wonder who that guy is.
I don't know. Some old
NFC general manager.
Some old crotchety guy that thinks the players should just shut up and take what the scholarship that they're given. It's ridiculous. By the way, NIL, yeah, for a handful of players, it's meant some serious money. But for the most part, if you look around at these NIL deals, they're $5,000-$10,000 for some of these guys. Yeah, some of the bigger schools like Texas now has given each lineman $50,000 a year. So that's nice, but it's still not a good market value for what the amount of money that the Texas football, you know, brings in. And you're still dealing with probably 85% of the players that are getting nothing. And a lot of the people that have cashed in on NIL are female athletes because they have huge social media followings. And there's a lot of volleyball and gymnasts and the Olympic gold medalist, the Oregon State gal, she's got like a $2 million NIL deal. And there's a bunch of, let's just call it what it is. There's a bunch of hots on the female side with huge social media followings, and they're cashing in too. But no one's complaining about that.
Yeah, it is crazy. I was talking about this with a friend today that the NCAA is the largest, most illegal sham of an organization ever created.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, think about how long it's operated with this BS mantra, right?
Under the guise of student athletes.
And people are protesting everything these days.
Yep.
You know, they'll protest, you know, a statue because the guy, you know, like a Civil War, you know. But nobody will say anything, and it's not true. People do say things about the NCAA, but nobody really seems to care that the NCAA is still doing this.
Yep.
And I guess maybe some of the pressure's off because of NIL, yeah. And, you know, it is changing. But the NCAA still exists, mm-hmm. And it does nothing. Nope. It's the structure of it is just meaningless.
They basically said that they're not going to try to enforce any rules anymore.
Yeah, what is it even there for? What is
to put on championships and to funnel money? I mean,
but they get the money still. So it's like, and nobody seems to really be outraged by it. It's crazy.
And if the NCAA was smart, and maybe they are, they'll just sit down and shut up because this still benefits them in that the players are getting paid, some of them, not all. And under an actual fair and market system, you'd have to pay everybody and you would have to pay, health insurance and, you know, there would be workers' comp claims and people could unionize and the players could have a voice at the table for how things are done and you'd be collectively bargained. And they want nothing to do with that. So just sit down and shut up. Let a handful of kids make some NIL deals. You got the transfer portal there, but nothing really changes for the NCAA. They're not the ones. This isn't costing them a penny. It's not even costing the schools. The schools aren't the one paying these athletes, and the vast majority of athletes still aren't getting anything outside of their scholarship and maybe a few shekels here and there. So this is one of those where the NCAA can cry foul, but secretly, I think they have to be kind of smiling and being like, oh my God, we got away with it. Yeah, we still get to keep doing what we want to do, and someone else gets to pay the players. And we still don't have to deal with anything that would come along with actual collective bargaining. So I still think they win.
Crazy. All right, up next, let's check Tankathon, okay?
Yeah, I'm not happy about this.
545 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, quick update. Blazers are not winning at halftime to Miami.
Thank heavens.
58-56, although Simons and McCollum each have 20 already.
Look, he, and I'm talking about Simons here, he is, you found something there. He is playing some really, really good ball. I just wish he would play slightly less good ball because we don't want wins at this point. And
yeah,
and CJ, great. Play as good as you want. Get your trade value up.
So you've got this situation where the Blazers are sort of in tank mode. I mean, we've talked to Jason Quick, who has said they are, you know, they've got their eye on a draft pick.
Yeah.
But you've also got the situation, which we talk about all the time when discussing tanking, that the players and coaches that are out there aren't tanking. They want to win. So the lineup that the Blazers are running out there, Lillard is shut down now. He had surgery. But, you know, with Covington, Powell's out, but they have Covington, Little, Nurkic, McCollum, and Simons. It's actually doing all right.
Yeah.
So now what do you do? I mean, you got to nip this in the bud.
We need some lower back spasms on the part of Anthony Simons. We need him to develop a bad back, possibly a stress fracture.
Well, some of these guys.
One of those Liz Frank injuries.
Some of these guys may be traded by the deadline.
Yeah.
Which is next month. Right. Well, it's like in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, coming up here. I want to say
the 10th.
February 10th, I believe you are correct.
But right now, the Kings, the Spurs, the Pelicans, they're all tanking better than you.
I know.
And that's unacceptable.
No, it's dangerous. You know, and you're beating.
I mean, I'm going to be pissed if the Clippers and Lakers have a better draft pick than the Blazers.
It's one thing beating the Orlando Magic, who are terrible. I understand that. But there's no excuse for beating the Brooklyn Nets. None. It's unacceptable.
That's right.
Knock it off.
Well, I think we should do maybe a daily or a weekly segment, probably weekly on Tankathon.
Yeah. And how it's going?
Yeah, because it's not going great. Like, so right now, because tankathon.com is when your team is tanking, like Portland, I mean, it seemingly is, tankathon.com is your friend.
Yeah.
Just you go there, they follow everything and they do a simulated lottery on there.
And just remember, a few meaningless wins. Go ask the Seattle Mariners, because it meant the difference between Steven Strasburg and Dustin Ackley.
That's correct.
One meaningless game at the end of the year against the Oakland A's was the difference in those two players.
So right now, the Blazers generally, again, you know, you can always get lucky and jump up in the lottery. But right now, the Blazers would pick 10th. Does that tickle you?
Yeah. Look, I like the top 10 pick, but top six would feel better.
Top five, dude. you have a top five pick in your sights.
Yes. Not if you keep winning 4 or 5.
Although I will say the bottom five are really, really, really bad.
Yeah, you're not going to catch like the Rockets.
No.
And again, Orlando. I think Orlando might be the worst team in the NBA. I think they have a worse record than the Rockets. I mean, they're dreadful.
But you got to beat, I mean, finish lower in the standings than the Spurs.
Yeah.
You better finish lower in the standings than the Pelicans. Like you say, you're probably not catching Oklahoma City, although you're not that far from them.
No.
3.5 games, I think.
You know, maybe trading for Miles Turner, and then, you know, he's got to be out for a while.
Yeah.
So
perfect.
That would certainly help.
Perfect.
Right? You know what's going to be infuriating is if they play well. Right here over the next little bit. And then Lillard doesn't shut it down for the year. They come back, end up in the play-in, right? And then, like, get into the actual playoffs, win the play-in tournament, and then get swept by Phoenix or Golden State. That's the one that's going to be a fly in the ointment.
Well, that's very Blazery.
Yes.
Well, see, I think one of those teams below them that could possibly pop up and get, you know, more towards the play-in territory is the Spurs. Because just look at their point differential. They're losing by less than a point a game. And to have that record at 16-28 with that small of a point differential, at some point that's going to start to even out.
Yeah, but maybe they're tanking.
they know how
see,
to.
See, it's a
they
race.
They know how to tank.
Yes. That's a smart franchise.
Yes.
So it's very Blazery to not be able to tank right, but it's still early in the process. Yes. I'm just saying, let's be careful with these wins
here. Yeah, because CJ has pride, And Anfernee's playing to make a name for himself. I don't like that. I don't like it's dangerous.
You got to shut down. I think you got to shut down Simons. He's too hot.
You've seen enough at this point. Let's cool him off a little bit.
Listen, kid.
Cool him off. Look, we love you right now, but maybe don't play him in the fourth quarter. He gets three quarters, and then we put him on a minutes restriction.
Yeah, we want Chet.
Yes. Dude, that kid, it's the damnedest thing. I've seen some highlights with him, and I watched one game when they were playing earlier this year.
So you're an expert.
No, I've seen him play one game, and I've seen some highlights, but boy, he looks awkward, but dude's got a skill set.
You are talking about none other than Chet Holmgren.
Yes. If you haven't,
who plays for Gonzaga.
Yes. If you haven't seen him play, it's the damnedest thing. And they beat BYU by like 30, which is the one game that I watched. And then I've seen some highlights of the others.
He's 7 feet, 110.
Yeah, but he's actually kind of physical, at least for college basketball. He'll get down there and bang around a little bit. He's got a nice jumper. He runs the floor well.
He's averaging 13 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 3.5 blocks as a freshman for Gonzaga.
I remember seeing photos of him in high school and being like, zero chance that's the number one player. But at least in the brief moments I've seen him this year, kid can play.
Well, I'm not happy. If they get the 10th pick.
Well, it's not going to be Chet.
I'm not happy. No, exactly. Chet's like top 5 pick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people think he'll be the number one overall pick.
Well, if I were a Blazer fan, I would not be happy at the current rate of tanking. It's not going well, but they have a lot of time to make it up.
Yes, they do.
And really suck.
Yes. We need some trades, and preferably some trades to some guys that aren't going to help you right away.
But it's also a delicate dance, you know, like Chauncey wants to win.
Yeah.
You know, he's been crappy, so he's wanting to make himself look better. And then you gotta go to CJ and be like, hey, look.
He's got too much pride.
Have a few extra bottles of wine on the All-Star break,
isn't
okay?
There's some maternity leave he can take. Gotta go spend some time with his new baby.
But you gotta, I mean, what do you do? Seriously, this is actually a serious question. You're Joe Cronin. That's the guy that's in charge now for the Blazers. And you are not tanking well enough. What do you do? Do you go to the coaching staff and say, look, we're pulling McCollum from the lineup?
I don't think you can.
We're pulling Simons from the lineup. So what do you do? Do you do any?
There's nothing you can do.
You just run this out there?
You know, that's.
He's got a sore hammy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you do that? Do you say, hey, look, Yusuf, bro, I know your hammies are intact, but for the sake of this conversation, they are not.
Probably not, because Yusuf and CJ know more than likely that they won't be here next year. And they're playing right now for, I guess it just goes back down to pride.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're prideful guys. They're making a paycheck. They want to win. I don't blame them for that, but.
You can't ask players to tank, but what you can do is not put the best lineup on the floor.
Right.
But
so how do you do that when your coaching staff, they're not tanking either.
No.
So I guess you just make some trades.
Yes. You make some trades.
Cut a few of these guys loose.
Make a trade for a Miles Turner who's not going to play for a while.
Exactly. Yes. Sign J.R. Smith. Let him shoot 50 times a night.
And hope for a sore back. I think what you say is if someone does get injured, then maybe you're like, hey, man, let's be extra precautious with this.
One thing I've noticed is Ben McLemore coming off the bench. The guy gets on fire. You put him in the starting lineup, and all of a sudden he's 2 for 8.
Yes. Let him chuck. Rock chuck, baby.
Insert him into the lineup. Yes.
All right. Well, if you're going to do it, you have to commit to it. And I don't know that the Blazers are doing a very good job yet.
No, they actually look pretty good right now.
But we'll see. All right. We move on to the club next on The Fan.
The special.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.